Hello, everyone. This is Bob Zeta. My amateur radio call sign is N1BLF, November 1, Bravo Lima Foxtrot. I'm reading for you today in digest format the QCWA Journal for Fall 2009. The Quarter Centrally Wireless Association Journal is published four times a year, quarterly, by the Quarter Century Wireless Association, Incorporated. Its address is P.O. Box 3247. Framingham, Massachusetts, zip code 01705. You can contact the office by voice phone at area 508-405-1930 or fax 508-405-1965 or can email them at qcwagm@rcn.com. The editor, Douglas Walbridge. The webmaster, Bob Broski. The coverage, Handy Ham System, in cooperation with the QCWA. The Handy Hams are located at 3915 Golden Valley Road, Golden Valley, Minnesota, 55422. The material is intended for the use of QCWA members and Handy Ham qualified members only. Any other use may violate copyright laws. Handy Hams may be reached at area 763-520-0512 or at email address handyham@courage.org. And our website at Handy Ham is www.handyham.org. Before we begin the reading, let's take a look at the present officers and board of directors list out. The President, Bob Broski, call and 0UF. Vice President Kenneth Ken Olke, Victor Echo 6, Alpha Foxtrot Oscar, the Secretary Walter Supina, November 3, Whiskey Sierra, Treasurer Frank Harris, WA4PAM, and of course the General Manager Chuck Walbridge, K1IGD. The President Board of Directors, Leroy Baldwin, W0OFY, Val Irwin, W5PUT, Carolyn Harrison, WB0OUM, Tony Hirsch, W8RSH, Larry McCalvey, WA9JMO, William Pasternak, WA6ITF, Ken Simpson, W8EK, and Ed Yoder, W3YMB. Let's go first to our President's Report. President Bob Broski, spelled R-O-S-K-E. Bob's call, November 0, Uniform Foxtrot. Fall 2009. The 2009 QCWA Cruise Convention will be here before you know it. It leaves from Fort Lauderdale on October 24th. Check the latest journal or the QCWA website for more details. Fair winds and following seas. We had a fairly successful outing at Dayton this year. We signed up some new members, renewed a few existing ones, and held our annual members meeting in the forum room on Sunday morning. Next year, we'll have a forum about QCWA and hope to attract a few new members. The second half of the 53rd annual QCWA QSO party was held on September 19th. We're a little bit beyond that date right now. But if you're not sure of what the rules were, look in the journal or on the QCWA website at www.qcwa.org/QSO-party.htm. And if you participated, be sure to fill in all the columns of the log you submit and that it contains all the columns it should have. One change this year was the addition of the QSO.net. In parenthesis, CQ100, software-defined VoIP radio. This is a separate category and will be operated only on a portion of the 10-meter band. Some will say this isn't real radio. It's as real as it gets for our members who have downsized and are living in apartments or nursing homes or where there are antenna restrictions. This is a logical way to provide a way for all our members to participate. In the future, we will be looking at Echolink and Skype to see if they fit our contest rules. See you on the air. The QCWA board bids a fond adieu to Director Joan Powell, VE3ZC, who tendered her resignation. Although only in her first term, Joan was an active and energetic member of your board of directors and will be missed by all of us. Keep in touch, Joan, and take care. Let me introduce Ken Simpson, W8EK, the newest QCWA director. Ken lives in Ocala, Florida, and spends a lot of time helping all the chapters in Florida. I look forward to working with Ken to keep QCWA one of the finest organizations any ham can belong to. Signed, DE, and Zero, UF, Op, Bob Roski, TU, QCWA President. The heading, 2010 Election Nominating Committee Report. According to our Constitution and bylaws, the QCWA president is required to appoint a biannual nominating committee in order to seek out qualified candidates for officers and members of the board of directors. QCWA President Bob Roski and Zero UF made those appointments in 2008. With a reminder that a report of the nominating committee was due in the hands of the general manager as of June 15, 2009. The QCWA members appointed to the nominating committee consisted of Ken Simpson, W8EK, Chair, Pierre Mainville, VA3PM, and Howard Cunningham, WB5DBC. The nominating committee wishes to report that it has completed its assignment as of June 1, 2009, and hereby submits the following names to the general manager. All have agreed to serve if elected. For follow-up biographical data and management of the election process. Now the list for board officers. For president, Mr. Bob Roski and Zero UF. For vice president, Mr. Ken Olke, VE6AFO. For secretary, Mr. Walter Supina and 3WS. For treasurer, Mr. Frank Harris, WA4PAM. Now with emphasis, for the board of directors, 8 to be elected, listed in alphabetical order, Mr. Leroy Baldwin, W0OFY. Mr. Howard Cunningham, WD5DBC. Mr. Val Irwin, W5PUT, Mr. Gary Harrison, K0BC, Mr. Tony Hirsch, W8RSH, Mr. Pierre Maidenville, VA3PM, Mr. Larry McCalvey, WA9JMO, Mr. Ken Simpson, W8EK, Mr. Robert Smith, KK3P, Mr. Ernie Skip Swenson, WB6WA. Others may be nominated by submitting a 25-member petition for office or board membership. You're suggested to see the excerpt from the bylaws below. This material was respectfully submitted by Messrs. Simpson, the Chair, Cunningham, and Mainville. Now here's a special note. The following is from the bylaws, Article 6, Nominations and Elections, Section 4, quoting, nominations of officers and director candidates may be submitted by the membership by petition signed by at least 25 members in good standing. Such petitions shall be received by the general manager by December 15th of the appropriate year. Upon receipt of such a petition, the general manager shall, upon verifying the validity of the petition and the eligibility of the candidates, cause the names of the candidates to be placed on the ballot, along with those submitted by the nominating committee. Publication of the list of all eligible candidates shall be made in the spring issue of the QCWA Journal. Let's review now the general manager's report by Chuck Walbridge, K1IGD, Fall 2009. ARRL QCWA MOU. As general manager, I have been in contact with my counterpart at ARRL to determine what activities the two organizations can jointly and effectively participate in. One area that has been identified has been to provide commentary support to any rule changes proposed by the amateur radio service regulations within our nonprofit legal constraints. Others are under review and will be announced when finalized. Discussions with the Radio Amateurs of Canada Incorporated organization are continuing with the goal of a similar memo of understanding between the two organizations. Election 2010, congratulations and thank you to the candidates who will be running for office next year. The report from the nomination committee is posted on page 3. We've actually just read that for you folks. Ballots will be in the mail by April and will need to be returned to the tellers in July 2010. A brief autobiography will be posted in the Spring 2010 Journal. Additional candidates may have their names added to the ballot by submitting a petition to the general manager, signed by 25 members in good standing, by December 15th of this year, 2009. Member Directory. The 2009 Membership Directory, listing active members as of June 30, 2009, has been posted on the QCWA webpage. This issue has been restructured in that the files for the Constitution, Bylaw, QCWA History, list of chapter members and the winners of the various named and QCWA Silent Key scholarships included in past issues are all now available on the web. When the directory was initially issued, the printed directory was the source for members of these documents. You will find them listed under the Info, I-N-F-O, tab on the web page. The report is signed 73 Chuck K1 IGD. A heading, the Board of Directors meeting, Englewood, Ohio, May 15, 2009. Present were President Roski, N0UF, Vice President Olke, VE6AFO, Secretary Subpoena, N3WS, Directors Baldwin, W0OFY, Harrison, WP0OUM, Hirsch, W8RSH, McAlvey, WA9JMO, Pasternak, WA6ITF, and Yoder, W3YMP. Those absent included Treasurer Harris, WA4APM, Director Powell, VE3ZC, and Director Irwin, W5PUT, who advised he would be a little late because of flight delays. President Roski called the meeting to order at 6:30 p.m. The list of email motions made since the Virginia Beach meeting was approved as amended. The motions made at the May 14, 2009 meeting were 1. Names of meeting attendees, in parenthesis, October 8, 2008 board meeting, close parenthesis, to be added to the list of motions made since the VA Beach meeting, passed with one abstention. 2. The director's guide is to be an open document, passed with one abstention. 3. To change the director's guide, section 8, board meeting, 10th paragraph after the first sentence, quoting here, a copy of the full board meeting minutes will be made available to members, close quote, passed with two abstentions. 4. QCWA solicit a chapter to add a convention. The motion failed. The consensus was that nothing precluded a chapter offering to hold a convention. Now for the officer's report. 1. President Roski noted that 3 chapters run VHF links where repeater is connected to Echolink. He also remarked that Chapter 70 is experimenting with the net on CQ100, that's software VOIP, non-RF. 2. Vice President Olke remarked that according to the bylaws, he had not much to do in the way of relieving the president, since the director's guide states that only directors may serve as a chair or member of any of the standing committees. Vice President Olke believed that the vice president does not have much to do at board meetings. He did offer his thoughts on several topics. A. membership growth. The members of the board can only do so much. The network of QCWA chapters has much greater potential for person-to-person contact. B. Financial growth. QCWA expenses are greater than income. Dues are too low. 3. Secretary Sapina reported that the duties specified in the bylaws had been performed, supplying minutes to all members of the board and a summary to the journal. In addition, he maintained the official version of the director's guide. The heading, General Manager Report. Each year, the general manager mails to all chapter secretaries a list of chapter members and a request for an annual report. Chapter 72 has disbanded, and Chapter 181 has been listed as inactive. Stan Vandiver, W4SV, has reactivated Chapter 36. 33, 75-year certificates have been awarded. The Summer 2009 Journal has an order form for a new item for members, an engraved plaque with QCWA logo, members' call sign, and the year of first license. Two estate distributions are still pending. The heading, Standing Committee Reports. 1. Administration Director McAlvey stated that the committee had no open or unfinished business. After the report, there was considerable discussion about the director's guide, and consensus of the board was that it is to be a guide and not a compilation of rules. 2. Chapter Relations Director Harrison remarked that several projects are in progress or have been completed. A. Alan Pickering, KJ9N, will be the recipient of the Roll of Honor Award. B. Members of the board will contact secretaries of QCWA chapters to gather information which could be helpful to other chapters, such as 1. Type of programs which have been the most successful, and 2. Has chapter been successful in recruiting new members? If so, why? C. Introduce the idea of adding CQ100 as a QSO party category. D. Proposed updating the convention manual during the coming year. 3. External Relations U.S. Director Irwin has been monitoring FCC actions with relation to amateur radio, particularly with regard to BPL, broadband over power line. Instances of interference to amateur radio can be directed to the FCC at the following email site, fccham@fcc.gov, or directly to Laura Smith, at lowercase, laura.smith@fcc.gov. Director Irwin was actively involved in the development and approval of a Memorandum of Understanding, MOU, between ARRL and QCWA. The document was signed at the 2009 Dayton Hamvention. Director Irwin represented QCWA at 7 Hamfests this year and expects to attend at least 6 more. 4. External Relations Canada Director Powell stated that RAC, Radio Amateurs Canada, monitors the BPL situation in Canada. Industry Canada, the Canadian regulator, is developing a new standard specifically for access BPL. Lower power, license-exempt devices may be having new rules. Stronger regulations are wanted by radio amateurs, although lobby groups are very powerful. RAC is awaiting response to several frequency requests. 5. Finance Director Hirsch provided a balance sheet for the calendar year 2009 through March 1, 2009. A. Scholarships. $537,046.94. B. Corporate, $209,476.65. C. Endowment, $37,908.59. The net asset value on May 1 was off 24.21% from January 2008, but the DJIA was off 38.1%. Director Hirsch has continued contacts with the RSGB and RAOTA in the United Kingdom, with the idea QCWA would like to get active in England. 6. Publication Director Bowen stated that the committee has been very active proofreading the QCWA journal and reviewing the QCWA webpage. Vic Culver, W4VIC, reviews each issue of the journal and sends the edited copy to Bob Zeta and 1PLF, who reads the copy to a master tape. This is sent to Handy Hams, who distribute audio cassettes to 24 of our blind members. Director Baldwin stated he is a firm believer in the QCWA chapters on the air program. There are 100 nets listed in the journal, with 82 chapters having at least one net each week. 7. Publicity and Public Relations Director Powell describes some of the methods the committee has used to promote QCWA. An ad is currently running in TCA publication of RAC. As to unfinished business, President Bosky admonished the board for not following up on some of the motions passed in the previous year. Director Pasternak said he would attempt to get a QCWA program slot for Friday of the 2010 Dayton meeting. The board did not discourage chapters from hosting a convention, but appeared to suggest that it be somewhat later than 2010. Finally, new business. Director McCalvey stated that registrants for the 2009 cruise totaled 110 at the time of the Dayton meeting. The meeting was adjourned at approximately 10:42 p.m. It was signed Walt Sopina, November 3, Whiskey Sierra, Secretary. You know, now for the membership, it's a good time to look ahead too, getting ready for 2010. The Orlando Hamcation Amateur Radio and Computer Show at the Central Florida Fairgrounds, 4603 West Colonial Drive, Orlando, Florida, 32808, is scheduled for February 12, 13, and 14. Kick off the year 2010 in Orlando at one of the great HamFests. See the latest equipment, shop for swap table deals, find bargains at the largest tailgating area in the Southeast. There are transistors, mobile rigs, HTs, amps, antennas, call letter hats, wire parts, T-shirts, eyeball QSOs, and QSL cards, forums, food, computers, sun and fun. You'll think it's ham heaven. Home of some of the best-known theme parks on Earth, Orlando has all you need to round out your visit. It will be a great vacation for you and the family. Make your plans now for the 2010 Orlando Hamcation. Tickets at the gate are $12, advance tickets $10. Advance ticket sales require a business-size self-addressed stamped envelope. Some of the features are going to include special guest speakers, 150 commercial exhibits, over 400 swap tables, testing on Saturday, free parking, RV camping on premises, fox hunt, guest-friendly Central Florida atmosphere, and of course the theme parks nearby. There will be a courtesy talk-in on 2 meters, 146.76. Again, that's the Orlando Hamcation, February 12, 13, and 14, the year 2010. Get involved. If you want more information about that and you have some capabilities with Internet connections, you could go to www.hamcation.com or call area 407-814-0434. Or you can email directly to Mort and Roberta Cohn at hamcation@aol.com. So come on down, as that old Delta Airline commercial used to say. Let's look back now for lost members. We have a column here by Larry McCalvey, W89JMO, lost member, committee chair. I continue to look for concerns and issues related to QCWA and associate it with your individual and or chapter membership. Those concerns and issues are probably not unique to your situation, sharing through this column, may be most beneficial to others experiencing similar dilemmas. Jointly, we can explore ways to resolve these problems so all may ultimately learn. I would like to begin by inviting the membership to join us on the QCWA Open Reflector. Start by accessing the following website, http://mailman.qth.net/mailman/listinfo/QCWA. This site is self-explanatory for subscribing to the QCWA Open Reflector. The main goal of this reflector is to allow the exchange of ideas and information related to QCWA and amateur radio. At times, there are heated exchanges of ideas with flaming retorts, but mostly it provides the opportunity for our QCWA membership to request and exchange information on a daily or even hourly basis. And if the topic of discussion is not of your interest, just hit the delete button and wait for a subject closer to your liking to appear. There is another closed QCWA reflector for chapter presidents and secretaries and board members' use. Its main purpose is to exchange the mundane chapter headquarters information needed daily or weekly without the time and cost of regular postal service mailings. Each reflector serves a need. We would like to up the membership on the Open Reflector from the current 300 users to 3,000 and get all the chapter presidents and secretaries active on the closed reflector. One does not need a computer and home internet access to participate in this endeavor. Most of us live within easy driving distance from a public library that offers free internet access. There are several sources that provide free email addresses and storage of email. One I use is gmail.com, provided by the search engine Google. Simply go to www.google.com and click on to the link Gmail. Use your ham call, for example, wa9jmo@gmail.com for your email address, and pick a password that is easy for you to remember, and then head over to the Open Reflector site, which is http://mailman.qth.net/mailman/listinfo/QCWA to sign up for this service. Many QCWA chapters use the Open Reflector to announce their chapter meetings, to invite travelers that might be in the area to stop and share a meal, and meet with fellow QCWA members. I enjoy traveling by auto and would like the opportunity to visit with chapters whenever I can. If you would like to have a board member visit your chapter, present some awards, and perhaps do a program for your meeting, let me know. If possible, and with enough advance notice, I or another board member might be available to visit with your group. Please let us know what you are planning and when, so we can be of possible assistance in your event. I may be reached by email at wa9jmo@wi.net and or telephone at area 262-639-7327. I'm going to go now to the chapter reports. As mentioned earlier, we have 18 members that are requesting copies of the recordings that the Courage Handy Ham system does for the Quarter Century Wireless Association in recording these journals. Unfortunately for this particular issue, we only have 6 chapters that submitted the information that might be of interest to one of their chapter members, and those are the 6 that I will read. General Manager Chuck Walbert certainly wants to thank all of the chapters who have continually submitted reporting information so that the success rate for our handicapped or print-impaired individual membership can gain access to it as those who can read properly do. So let's get along with it now to Chapter 8, with Upper Midwest, Minnesota. The following were elected to our annual May meeting: President Dick Filstrom, W0TLE, Vice President John Fox, W0LER, Secretary Bob Roski, N0UF, and Treasurer Tom Steele, AA0HQ. Receiving golden certificates, which totaled 250 years on the air, Jack Chapman, W0HZ, 70 years. Jack Steinmetz, N0GI, 70 years. Bob Yill, W0UGY, 55 years. And Rick Whiting, W0TN, 55 years. The chapter also requests and distributes golden certificates for other Minnesota QCWA members that don't belong to the chapter. Our chapter nets meet Saturday morning at 3.909 megahertz at 0800 Central Time. Baldy, W0OFY, is our NCS. Then, between September and May, at 0900 Central Time, Jack, N0GI, is net control station on 145.450 megahertz. This repeater is connected to Echolink number 89680 with no PL tone. Please join us. Now Chapter 10, Michigan, MI. Chapter 10 has been going through some turbulent times as of late. Our very active and able Secretary Treasurer Jim Bishop, WHJFB, resigned his position a few months ago. Prior to our annual meeting in Cadillac, our President Melvin Moore, NM8L, tendered his resignation, leaving me, the Vice President, as the only remaining officer. That left only one officer position to be filled at this year's annual meeting, that of the President. I approached Jan Jalema, K1ND, asking if he would consider being nominated for that position, to which he readily agreed. His name was placed in nomination at the meeting and unanimously elected as our new President to fill the remaining one-year term. We are now looking for a replacement Secretary-Treasurer to replace Jim, who has done a remarkable job in this position over the past few years. Peter Hansen, WATWA, suggested to me that perhaps we could divide the duties of the Secretary-Treasurer into two parts, one doing just the job of a Secretary-Treasurer and another doing the job of Chapter Historian. At this point, I am asking each member to contact me by email. The email is lcorbin@hughes.net, stating whether or not they are in favor of such a change. Also, I would appreciate if volunteers would step forward to fill these various vacancies. I wish to thank Jim and Melvin for their support over the years. That report for Chapter 10 was filed by Lowell Corbin, W8IQB, Vice President and Acting Secretary Treasurer. Our next chapter report is going to be Chapter 65, Niagara Frontier, New York. It was one of those requested for the print sight-impaired member. It looks like Chapter 65 just might have pulled back from the brink of extinction. Four members have come forward and offered help. I feel compelled to recognize them for their anti-apathy. They are Bill, WB2AIV, Steve, WF2S, John, W2JUA, way down in Texas, and Bob, W2AET. How refreshing. You know, dissolving a chapter is so final. Dare I liken us to a phoenix, a legendary bird who rose alive from the ashes to live another period? A glimmer of hope for us, after all. Hey, we even finally snagged a member who has been on our wish list for a couple of years. Or, to be more precise, he snagged himself since he joined the QCWA at the Dayton Amvention. We welcome Bob Schober, S-C-H-O-B-E-R, K-2-C-R-R. Bob has a very long history in the communications field in the western New York area. He owned and operated WPL, a ship-to-shore radio system, and owned a Motorola communication service shop for many years. We are extremely fortunate to have Bob join our group. Our weekly net, which is on 3900 kilohertz at 1330 lower sideband Sundays, using Club Call W2SD, is still discontinued, but there is a possibility it will be revived after the summer months are behind us. Stay tuned. We have been consistently enjoying an attendance of about 12 members to our monthly luncheons at 12 noon on the second Saturday of the month at Brennan's Restaurant. They are located on Transit Road at Main Street in Amherst, New York. We always guarantee a good time. That's after 65 report was filed by Larry Rybecki, President, Secretary. Our next one is right behind him, Chapter 70, QCWA, National Capital Region, Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, Chapter 70. During the second quarter of 2009, Joan Powell, VE3ZC, unfortunately decided to step down as a QCWA vice president due to the pressure of other commitments. Chapter 70 members will miss her efforts on our behalf as well as her regular reports on activities at headquarters. In addition to our regular weekly breakfasts, Chapter 70 held a quarterly dinner meeting on May 19th. A number of special guests attended the dinner, including the president of Radio Amateurs of Canada, Bob Cook, VE3BDB, as well as RAC Ontario North and East Director Bill Unger, VE3XT, and Ontario South Director Jeff Smith, VA3GS. Also present was Sue Cook, VE3SUH, acting vice president of Field Services. After conducting routine chapter business and presentations for several 40, 50, and 60-year pins and certificates, former QCWA President Croft Taylor, VE3CT, presented a 75-year pin and plaque to longtime Chapter 70 member Gordon Grant, VE3DY. Following the dinner, Chapter Vice President Doug Leach, VE3XK, entertained members and groups with a PowerPoint presentation on mapping the Canadian North and working a little DX between weather observation. The presentation described Doug's interesting and occasionally dangerous summer school work on a 1957 aerial survey of Baffin Island. The Chapter 70 report was filed by Ken Pulfer, VE3PU Secretary. We thank Ken for his diligence there. Well, we're cruising up the ladder here to Chapter 112, the Yankee Chapter, Rhode Island. Our annual meeting was held at the Chateau Restaurant on April 18, 2009 in Norton, Massachusetts. The meeting was opened by WA1ENO, Tony, with introductions. There were 23 members and guests present. The Secretary's report for the February 2009 meeting was accepted as read. Awards were presented to members for the years of service. 55 years to Blanche Randalls, W4GXZ, and Harry Keller, W1DGD. 7 years, Joe Santangelo, and 1JS. Elections were held for the 2009-2010 officers. President, WA1ENO, Tony Manna. Vice President, WB6VV. A. Skip Swenson, Secretary K4IJK, Janice Lentz, and Treasurer K1IGD, Chuck Walbridge. Bylaw change, KK3P, Bob, presented a motion to amend the bylaws to include the immediate past president to be an official member of the executive board. Motion was passed unanimously. Our next meeting will be the joint New England QCWA Chapter Picnic on July 11, 2009 at the New England Wireless and Steam Museum, East Greenwich, Rhode Island. Hope to see everyone there. That nice but short report was filed by Janice Lentz, K4IJK, Secretary. Incidentally, folks, as an aside, on the fall 2009 cover of the QCWA Journal, there is a beautiful picture of the Thompson Houston Electric Company manufactured Hartford Electric Light Company engine. Great piece of the machinery. The caption happens to read on an operating steam engine and electric generator, New England Wireless and Steam Museum, East Greenwich, Rhode Island. The picture was taken by Doug Walbridge. We thank him very much for that. Nice camera work, too, I have to tell you. It was really beautiful. Now I come to the last chapter. It's chapter 203, Gil Crossley in Pennsylvania. Gil Crossley, chapter 203, held their spring meeting at Dave's Restaurant in Hollidaysburg on May 9th with 20 members and guests present. Marty Johnson, W3YOZ, was presented with his certificate for 50 years continuous membership and 50 years active as a ham. The next outing will be August 8th with the cruise on Lake Raisden. Sunday night nets continue to be held. We thank Lois Gutshell, WB3EFQ, secretary, for that report. That concludes the reading of the specific chapters that were requested for chapter members of the QCWA who cannot read for themselves. I hope it satisfied their interest in what they were listening to. I also want to thank, from my side of the microphone here, the many chapters who do and did respond on this particular issue as well. It's just unfortunate that there are quite a few of those that were asked to be read that were not read again for the obvious reason that someone in that chapter did not submit the information. So I think that is definitely a project the system has to keep working at. Now, at the very end of the chapter readings, there is a poem. It's apparently been written by Ruth Kibler Peck, Dayton, Ohio. It's from her book, Rowing Through the Night. It's available from exlibris.com. I'll spell that X-L-I-B-R-I-S. I guess that's exlibris.com. And use with permission. And here's the note. Ruth Kibler-Peck is a docent at the Dayton Art Institute at the QCWA Chapter 9 dinner in May. She presented a program about the Institute and a number of items in their collection. This particular selection is titled Voice of America. I hope I do it justice. My voice races through corridors of air and spans the continents with graceful ease. I leap with truth to cities everywhere and homes and fishing towns by wind-tossed seas. I speak in ancient Cairo, Warsaw, Seoul, cross Berlin's wall and Iran's angry gates. I dare to breach cruel tyranny's control to bring world news from liberty's estate. With zeal for freedom sanctioned by my words, Chinese youth inspired marched in Beijing streets. I made sure their bid for liberty was heard so democracy might never know defeat. On beams of sound, I reach all nations' ears with truth and hope across tile-open spheres. By Ruth Kibler Peck, Dayton, Ohio. Thank you, Ruth. Well, many of the QCWA members are looking forward to the 2009 Cruise Convention, October 24th through 31. It's leaving from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. It's San Juan, Puerto Rico, and St. Thomas in the U.S. Virgin Islands. Our cruise convention will begin in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, as we board Holland America's brand new ship, the Eurodom, on Saturday, October 24, 2009. As the cabins, meeting rooms, entertainment, food, and boats non-alcoholic beverages are included, there is no need for a registration fee. Our first full day, Sunday, will be at sea, where you may operate any of the HF stations that ICOM Radio of America and Comet Antenna will be providing for your use. We hope to have a weather balloon long wire antenna floating above the rear of the ship, weather permitting. I do not know what context that will provide us, but it should make for some very nice picture opportunities. The HF stations will be operating 24/7 if there is a desire from our travelers. We will also offer a slate of ham forms for your enjoyment on this day and the other C-Day, Thursday. with a very favorable exchange rate of the Canadian dollar and euro to the American dollar at this time, it provides, I believe, an excellent opportunity to use this convention as a family vacation. You can enjoy the ham aspects of the cruise while non-ham family and friends enjoy all the amenities provided by Holland America. Your non-ham traveling companions will hardly notice you slipping away to operate Caribbean Maritime Mobile and be the pileup instead of trying to bust into it. On Monday, we'll enjoy a relaxing 8-hour visit to Grand Turk for a little scuba diving, horseback beach riding, swimming, dune buggy safari, or float dreamily over vibrant coral reefs. Wow! Tuesday will put us in San Juan, Puerto Rico from 10 a.m. to 11 p.m. to visit the old forts, El Yunta, Rainforest, San Juan Historical Walking Tour, and see the Arecibo Observatory, the world's largest radio telescope. The observatory is normally closed on Tuesday. However, if there is interest from our group, I can make special arrangements to have the facility open for a private tour and take care of the transportation. It is a trip worth taking if you can. Now, on Wednesday, has us in St. Thomas from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., a most wonderful place to shop, duty-free 7 weeks before Christmas, swim, snorkel, and feed the fish in the crystal-clear Caribbean water, and shop until you drop. St. Thomas is the place for that. For clarification on any of the above information and greater details on the cruise itself, cabin selection, air transportation, travel insurance, and radio gear to bring along, please contact me by email at wa9jmo@wi.net or by telephone to area 262-639-7327 and or U.S. Postal regular mail to Larry McCalvy, McCalvy, WA9JMO, 5400, that's 5400-6 Mile Road, Racine, Wisconsin, WI, 53402-9741. If you have not been on a cruise before, an adventure of the lifetime awaits you. If you are a cruiser, you know what I mean. So if any of you that hear this are still interested in trying to make this cruise, it's only a couple of weeks away from now, you'd probably have to rush to make those arrangements. But the information is there for you to consider. All of you that have already made that decision, have a great time. The Publication Committee of the QCWA Journal also wishes to thank John P. Johnston, W3BE, for the Rules and Reg Digest. He always does a really, really nice job of answering questions with very, very specific and accurate answers to anybody that inquires. If you have any questions about rules and regulations, contact John B. Johnston. If you don't know John's call, you must not have been around very long, but I'll say it again. It's W3BE, Whiskey 3, Bravo Echo. His address is 17701. That's 17701 Bowie Mill Road, B-O-W-I-E, Mill Road, Durwood, D-E-R-W-O-O-D, one word, Durwood, Maryland, M-D, zipper 20855-1608. And John, we thank you again for the long years of service to amateur radio. You know, as long as I've been reading this QCWA Journal information for you folks, at the very back of each publication is a journalistic history of the life and times in amateur radio of George Hart, called W1NJM, and it's written by Mr. Hart. I've picked and chosen different things from the works that he has submitted for publications. They are rather voluminous, to say the least, but he does a fantastic job of recalling, so we have to give him a lot of credit for that. The last issue of the journal completed the main section of George Hart's Random Recollections of an Old Ham. He continued writing and added another 70-plus pages of what he called the appendixes. George identified the material as a, quoting, supplement to the mail text. This may include corrective text, afterthoughts, memories, text of addresses or talks. He noted that, quoting again, no attempt is made to observe continuity or chronology. Well, I hope you enjoy this added material. And that commentary was offered by Chuck. K1IGD, QCWA General Manager. I'm going to pick from this selection, Running Away with Betty. It appears on page 47. Andy and Betty Clark were personal friends of long standing. I first met them when we visited ARRL headquarters sometime in the 60s and not long after their marriage. I believe it was one of those times when I was called upon by the receptionist to entertain visitors. All staff members except the top executives took turns at this chore, and even the biggies had to do it when the visitor was someone important. I hated it with a passion because it interrupted my work, but I was never excused for that reason. We were all kept very busy, and entertaining visitors was a necessary function. I was plagued with it from the time I started work as second flunky at W1AW in 1938 until I was appointed communications manager in 1967. But Andy and Betty were different. Andy was deeply involved in the public service aspects of amateur radio, so we had a lot in common. Betty was not yet licensed, but was a very vivacious and outgoing, friendly person. I hit it off with them instantly, and we maintained close personal real friendship for many years. They were married 10 years before any children came along. Then they had 6 in less than 5 years, including 2 sets of twins. Poor Betty. It must have been tough. But all 6 children were healthy, as was Betty herself, and several of them in later years became licensed hams, as did Betty. They lived in Miami Springs, Florida, near the airport where Andy worked as a CW operator for Arink Incorporated. They were a devoted and loving couple, and I put a high value on our friendship. I visited them every time I visited Florida. One of the functions in which they, and later their growing brood, were heavily involved was the annual ham fest known as the Tropical Hamboree. This was one of the biggest amateur radio get-togethers in the nation and was usually designated an official ARRL convention. Many headquarters staff members were in attendance every year, both officially and unofficially for the league. Although public service was often cited as a major theme of the convention, for some reason I was never asked for. This seemed strange to me since I was the principal advocate of public service at ARRL headquarters at the time. But I kept my mouth shut for several years. Then I mentioned it to the perennial convention chairman, Evelyn Gossens, W4WYR. She promptly agreed that I should be in attendance and promised to request my attendance in an official capacity at the next Hamboree. The exact details of our plan to run off together are a little vague in memory. I think I consulted Andy by mail regarding plans for the public service program at the convention and received a reply from Betty saying that she would see that Andy got my letter, but he was so busy she seldom saw him, and that she was also fearfully busy with convention plans and taking care of her children. Sometimes, she said, I wish I could chuck the whole business. I acknowledged and proposed that when I came down, she should meet me at the airport, and we would run off together to some secluded island in the Caribbean where we could live a life of carefree leisure. I was joking, of course. Never dreamed she would take me seriously. But when I deplaned and entered the airport on my arrival, there stood Betty, a large suitcase alongside her. She was unable to keep a straight face, however, and broke into laughter. Andy Adele Stricter, the ARRL Southwestern Division Director, appeared from behind a couple of posts and joined us laughing hard. "You should have seen your face," said Dale, "when you saw Betty standing there with her suitcase. Funniest thing I ever saw." Wish we could have taken a picture of it. I grinned in what I hope was a disarming manner. I knew right away it was a gag, I protested. Sure you did. Sure you did. Betty Nandy half apologized, said Dale had put them up to it. We all went out for dinner together and had a great time at the convention. But Dale never tired of telling the story. I admit, in retrospect, that it was a little embarrassing, but I think I carried it off well. Andy, Betty, and I remained on very friendly terms for many years until Andy and I had a difference of opinion as to how the public service mission of amateur radio should be carried out. We remained friends, but gradually drifted apart. But I'll always remember Andy and Betty Clark among my host of amateur radio friends, past and present. Again, I want to say that the QCWA Journal really appreciates and has appreciated all the fine material that George Hart, W1NJM, has furnished. There is another continuing series at the end of each journal, this particular one in this time frame, Novice History, the first Novice DXCC. It's part 7 in the series for the QCWA Journal, and as I can make this out, the credit is furnished to Cliff Cheng, Ph.D., call AC6C, of the Novice Historical Society. Now, it's rather lengthy. I cannot give it to you all because of the fact that I'm running out of time. However, it's about one particular individual from what I can make out here. It said, in our last article, number 6 in the QCWA Novice History Series, we discussed the biggest prize of the novice era. That was 1951 through 2000. The first novice to earn the American Radio Relay League's DX Century Club Award, ARRL-DXCC. We identified in the previous issue success factors that the first novice DXCC would have to have. We revealed in the previous article that the first novice to achieve this honor was Bill Tippett, T-I-P-P-E-T-T. His call then was K-N-4-R-I-D in 1958. He's now W-4-Z-V, Whiskey 4 Zulu Victor. This article goes on to discuss how Bill achieved all of that. Quite a marvelous bit of information and a chronology of all those successes. Imagine the fun he must have had in amateur radio. And on the back page of this article material, there is a photograph of this gentleman as a young boy. The caption isn't all that easy to read, but I will read about it. 1 year ago this month, we speculated editorially on the possibility of a novice ever joining ARRL's DX Century Club. It did seem remote at the time. There were many who deemed the odds too great, but, and in parenthesis, now K4RID, put an end to such conjecture by turning the trick with his Ranger 75A4 and 3-element 21 megacycle rotary. ARRL staff man W1ICP, who obtained this picture, is told by Billy's dad that the young OM's school grades improved in direct proportion to his interest in amateur radio. Truly, labor omni vincent. I think that's Latin. I can't quite read it. We are assured that KN4RID's achievement comes strictly solo. And the date, November 1958. The photograph was used by permission of QST Magazine, November 1958. And there's a picture of the young fellow and having a great experience. We congratulate him again all these many years later. Folks, that concludes the reading of the QCWA Journal for the fall of 2009. Your reader, my name is Bob Zeta, Z-E-I-D-A. My call is N1-BLF, November 1, Bravo Lima Foxtrot. This recording is a production of the Courage ANHIM system, 3915 Golden Valley Road, Golden Valley, Minnesota, 55422. It's really intended for the use of HandyHim members and QCWA Journal members requesting the specific readings only. Any other use may violate copyright laws. If you're interested in contacting the HandyHims, you can call them at area 763 1-800-520-0512 or email address handyhamatcourage.org. Our website is www.handyham.org. We thank you again for the opportunity to share this experience with you and the QCWA. The QCWA website, by all means, I should give you that. It's www.qcwa.org. Thanks again, 7388. Have a great holiday season as we end the year 2009.